Blog Talk Radio.
Good man, a lot of time.
Which direction we are going?
Direct me El Camino. It would have been DWI.
Have reached a tipping point. Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to the tipping point. My name is Stephen Platinum. Hopefully you're hearing my voice right now. It did a weird little thing where it seemed to kick me off, but I think I am on with the lovely Miss Rachel and the venerable Larry Goodman. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good. It was 30 seconds to go and you disappeared, so I was ready to go, but I'm glad that you're here.
You were ready to do the intro.
That's good. It's
Rachel on the spot. Larry Goodman, I'm going to start with you. You had a huge weekend. We're going to jump almost immediately into having AJ Steele on. We have a packed show. AJ Steele going to talk about the recent firing of he and Pandora from UIW. And we've got Todd Sexton, one of the bookers for Anarchy and one of the new bookers for the new promotion that's going to be in the Church of Southern Wrestling starting in November. And we have Charles Anschutz to talk about his experience as the owner of Anarchy. So a huge show. I don't remember having a tipping point quite like this one. I'm excited. But Larry, got to talk about Dragon Con. Got to talk about what else went on this weekend. How was the Dragon Con show?
One of their best. A really good time. I think everyone had a good time. The wrestlers had a good time. The audience had a good time. Xavier Woods had a great time. It was a really, really fine show. And then, of course, I woke up Saturday morning to the news that, Friday night when I got home, that Georgia Wrestling History is being threatened with a lawsuit by one Nature Boy Paul Lee.
Woo! The would-be mayor of Ringgold! So a lawsuit. Larry, say it ain't so. What happened? What's going on with the lawsuit? Have the lawyers advised you not to talk about certain things?
On the advice of legal counsel, I'm going to say whatever the fuck I want to say about this situation. Because, what Paul Lee was complaining, saying that he was slandered by Ace Rockwell's comments. In the story about him, and of course those are Ace Rockwell's opinions and not the opinions of Georgia Wrestling History or myself, and
no.
There's really no issue. It should be noted that I gave Paulie the opportunity of coming on the air to talk about his side of it or to even post a rebuttal, and
yes.
His response was he doesn't give his opinions for free, so boy, who's going to be paying? Oh, I'm going to steal Rachel's line. Who's going to be paying to hear those political speeches?
or to quote Rachel again, only he and his mother would care. So Rachel's on fire last week. Oh, my God. So Paulie's suing. I mean, I forgot that was the other big thing, was the Paulie thing, and we've already covered it. My God. Well, Dragon Con show, of course, dedicated to Tiny, who had passed on. But Tiny's wife, I guess, said that they're just going to keep that thing going. Is that correct?
Yeah, she took over as director this year, and there's absolutely – I got no indication whatsoever that this is not going forward. I think absolutely it is. And you look at the job they did this year and actually having a more cohesive show by focusing it on a tag team tournament, they're on the right track with that show, no doubt about it.
Right on. So, the standout match from that one involved the Washington Bullets. You kind of mentioned it in your report, Larry, but – And of course, I'm biased. I mean, they are the collective TCW champion, two guys that I trained, but they just feel like they're on the verge of something bigger. Do they not? They feel like they're ready to take the next step, I think.
When you watch them have a room of 1,500 people eating out of the palms of their hands, giving them a standing ovation, seeing is believing. These guys really have something.
Yeah, I mean, Trey in particular pulled a great match out of Johnny Danger. I mean, they're just cooking. On Saturday, I was I was in Atlanta to go to a bar mitzvah and work a spot at the bar mitzvah. Long, terrible story there. But I swung by PCW, and the Bullets were there. They weren't supposed to be at PCW until Sacred Ground, but they just showed up, you know? Like, they're just those guys. I think any league would be lucky to have them. They just put it all together, you know. Miss Rachel, how was St. Louis?
There were lots of women in one room trying not to say the word baby, which was ridiculous. And there was lots of cake. So while I did not get to wrestle or see wrestling, it was a very good weekend.
And, you know, here's what's annoying about the cake. If Larry eats that cake, he might put on a little weight. If I look at the cake, I put on weight. Rachel, somehow her abs will get more defined and her butt will get rounder. That's all that will happen to Rachel if she eats the cake. And then her boobs will get bigger a little bit. And then that's it. It's nice to be young. Enjoy it, Rachel. Enjoy it.
Without a doubt.
Larry, is AJ Steele ready to go?
He is hot on the line here, ready to talk. Yes, we have him. He's on.
Hail to the ladies and gentlemen, usual suspect member, wrestler of the year. I mean, just a guy that's been hitting on all cylinders. He is AJ Steele. Sorry, AJ, for cutting you off. How are you doing tonight?
No. I'm doing great, but I just want to say something, and with all due respect, if cake makes Rachel's ass rounder and abs more chiseled, then she needs to eat the fucking cake.
We need to get a fucking cake. We need to get her one of those ridiculous cakes from one of those damn shows that's like, I want a cake that one of those sweet 16 cakes that's like shaped like a Porsche.
Absolutely.
I demand with every payday that I get cake now. Can that
there
be a thing?
Oh, hell, now you're asking for cake on...
she wants to get paid in cake.
By the way, speaking of cake, Rachel, at Sacred Ground, we just announced this, is going to be wrestling Lady Tapa for Sacred Ground. So, speaking of cake, I think Lady Tapa, oh boy, Rachel might look like a cake to Lady Tapa. So, AJ, can I ask you the hard question first? I want to ask the hard question.
That's what I'm here for. Let's
thank
do
you.
It.
I appreciate that. Here's the hard question. Okay, Billy and Stan, I am not a fan. I've gone on record saying I'm not a fan of Billy and Stan. I am curious though, if they told you that you weren't booked, regardless of the reason they gave on why, what was unprofessional with how they handled it? If they told you in private that you were no longer booked, what exactly is wrong professional wise with them doing it that way?
Well, first of all, that didn't happen. It didn't happen. That.
Okay. Okay.
What
good.
What happened
yeah.
was is as usual, because collectively between the both of them, neither one of them have one ball, so there couldn't be any nuts. So what I had to do was because Stan reports to Pandora because he chooses to. And Stan told Pandora that he got caught basically borrowing money from whoever he borrowed money from, a family member, to pay everybody. Okay? And Billy got mad because he found out that Stan was paying the difference in price. In other words, we were getting paid by two people because Billy thinks that Billy thinks that some of his workers should work for $10 and $20 and $30, and I mean the experienced ones. I don't mean the green guys or the guys that are trying to pay their dues, the guys that are fresh, you know, right out of training. I'm talking
sure.
veterans. So with that being said, you know, I pride myself in being professional in the locker room. I try to have a good time. I try to have everybody around me have a good time, but I'm not going to get screwed by anybody because I think that I've been in this business long enough to where I have a voice and I can use it. And I don't superstar anybody. My thing is this: do I bring 10 people to your show? And that is what I asked Billy, because Billy wouldn't call me. I called Billy. He would not answer the phone.
So I called
Stan. I said, "Hey, Stan, what you doing?" He's like, "Nothing. I said, "I hear you got some drama going on. Where's your dad?" And he's like, "Well, he's standing right next to me." I said, "Good, give him the fucking phone." So he gave him the phone, and then he decided to talk and humming, and, you know, "I really want to watch Rachel eat the cake," you know, all that kind of bullshit. And then he decided to say that, first of all, I'm always going to speak for myself because my business is my business. I don't conduct business for, I don't do business for Pandora. I don't speak for Pandora. She's her own woman. She does her own thing. However, he said that me and Pandora were paid extra money. No, we weren't paid extra money. Here's the problem. You think Pandora should only make $40, but she draws 70% of your crowd. So why should she only get $40? So Stan was smart enough for once in his fucking life to see that the $100 that she was asking for was not a bad thing. So he paid the difference.
Right.
Where he got the money from, it's not any of my business. I could care less if he pulled it out of his ass. He paid her. He paid me. He paid the difference from what it was that I wanted. He made sure that I had the money that I was asking for, and I booked based off of 10 people. I do not go to any show and say, I've wrestled here and I wrestled there. I need $250. No, I do it off of 10 people because there ain't one promoter that I have worked for in 20 years, especially after 20 years, that can say, "I did not bring 10 people to your show."
Right.
So with that being said, he didn't call me. I called him, and he said,
gotcha.
"I said, well, I said, Billy, are you saying I don't draw 10 people?" He said, "Well, the answer to that question was yes, AJ, you draw 10 people." But he didn't say that. He said, "Well, AJ, you know, people are going to come if you're here or if you're not." Okay, you're right, because the last show that you guys did, and me and Pandora wasn't on it, it had 37 people.
Yeah.
The show that we did this past Saturday had 157 people. You do the math.
Oof. I think I got a better sense of the picture. So basically, Stan had been making up the difference of what Billy was paying you 40 or whatever, and Stan was making up the difference. So the two
Billy
of you were
happy. Billy
was
paying Pandora 40, and he
yeah.
was making up the difference of 100. Stan
gotcha.
Would give her the money. I was
right.
getting paid 80. Stan would get the difference. I asked Billy
gotcha.
To his face, "I want $100. Can I work? I will work for you for $100. AJ, you know I can't. I got to go to the strip club. I got bingo. I got to go play bingo. I got to buy Rachel some cake. I got to make sure that her abs look good." I'm just saying, like, he did everything but beg me to. He begged, "Come on, AJ. I mean, you know, I've known you for." Okay, Billy, I'm only asking for $20 more. That's
so,
two people.
Wow. I mean, this thing is crazy to me because you've been booked there for a long time. Pandora's been there for a very long time.
She was there before I was.
I mean, and I'll just be honest, and Larry, you can back me up on this or not. I mean, the undercard at UIW varies in quality. I think that's a nice way to put it. It's not always terrible, but it's often been awful, right?
You want me to tell you why? You want me to tell you
yeah.
why? And I don't mean to cut you off, Stephen. I apologize, but I know
no,
I don't
do
have
your
a whole
thing.
Bunch of time. What I'm saying to you is this. You asked me about the professionalism. The professionalism is not there because Billy's a bitch and he gave birth to a bitch because neither one of them have the balls to tell the workers what is going on. When you walk into a show, there should be direction from the time you get there, meaning who is your booker? Okay, Stan is the booker. Stan, what are we doing tonight? Okay, Stan goes over and says, he rocks back and forth like a little handicap boy and says, I don't know, you guys just do whatever you want. That is not how a show is ran. So when the workers that are working on a show are booking their own shit, they should get paid even more. You should be paid to wrestle and to book your own shit because a booker is supposed to book the fucking show.
Mm. Wow. Any Rachel or Larry, do you have any questions for AJ? I'm satisfied, but if you have any questions, please.
I was going to say, he pretty much answered my questions with everything he said. There's that pretty well tells me what I wanted to know, yeah.
Rachel, your ass and cake has come up quite a few times. Do you have any questions for AJ Steele?
You know, I really don't. This is the first time that I'm hearing about all of this. And
yeah.
Wrapping my head around it right now is, like, I really need some cake to cope with this.
Well, nicely done. Well, I mean, see that, I mean, AJ, certainly you and Pandora are not going to watch for booking. It seems like Peach State has already sort of picked you up.
Yeah, everybody has stirred the pot. And given the opportunity, and, like, I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to come and talk, but if it's one thing in this business, I heard you guys talking about the Bullets earlier. I have so much respect for the people in this business who demand respect. I don't respect people that walk around saying it like it's a fucking catchphrase. I respect those that have worked and bust their ass. Those are the people who I respect. And I respect the fans because without the fans, we don't have a show.
Yeah.
We can book all of the wrestlers we want, but if nobody buys a ticket, you're going to be wrestling for the ring crew's family. That's it, because that's the only people that are going to be sitting in the crowd, because if those fans do not support any of these independent wrestling shows that we have, we don't have any shows. So this point right now, I'm thanking all of the people who have been supportive of me, and like I said, I let Pandora do her own talking, but and for Pandora, because in the last 24 hours, I have been shown so much love and so much respect from workers and from fans. I've had people that say, you know, I'm not asking anybody to not go wrestle for UIW. If those guys book you, I'm sure they're going to try to pay you in gummy bears or whatever. But, you know, go make your money. But don't whore yourself out for nobody. You know what I'm saying? Respect yourself and demand respect from these people because we put in the work. We put in the work in order to get to the point where we can negotiate how much money we work for and not be whored out for these promoters. And every promoter is not a bad one. I have worked with very good promoters who appreciate the time and the work that we put in as athletes. They appreciate it, and some of them have worked in the ring before. Steven, you yourself have been in the ring before. You know what it's like to go through what we've done, and you've done it. So you can appreciate what these people, you've trained people. I know you had the Bullets. You had something to do with them. From what I understand, you had something to do with Pandora. So you know what it costs physically and mentally to get in a ring and do what we do. And I will not be whored out for anybody, any promotion. If any promotion right now is listening to this, if you think I'm going to come there, I'm going to bust my ass. I'm going to bring those 10 people. And then some, but I'm only going to ask for what I know I deserve. I'm not going to ask for any more. I'm going to work my ass off. Yes, I'm getting old. No, I can't do it like I used to, but I damn sure still look good trying. And as long as I do, I'm not going to let UIW, that little piece of shit-ass promotion, that me and Murder and Bull Buchanan, Brad Lynch, built UIW and kept it afloat. Because while Stan was jacking off and picking up his nose, me and Murder was booking UIW for Stan. there shouldn't be a 17-year-old kid shouldn't be booking a wrestling show anyway. He should be doing a fucking book report.
Well, AJ, I certainly appreciate you coming on and explaining exactly what went down. I know I have a better grasp of what happened. I was wondering what exactly the unprofessional behavior was, but, you know, that end-around stuff from Billy and Stan, I've always thought UIW was a promotion where they kind of let the boys do everything because they didn't know how to do anything. And it just seems like the chickens came home to roost, so to speak. I think that's what happened.
They set up a bullshit-ass ring with holes in it. I don't know if you guys remember, not too long ago, I made a big deal about if you got a ring that has a hole in it, if I get in it and it has a hole in it, number one, you're going to pay me for showing up. Number two, I'm not wrestling because if I break my ankle, I can't perform for anybody. So they got a bullshit-ass ring with holes in it, and they don't want to pay to either get the ring fixed, or everybody knows Ox has the best rings, in my opinion, in Georgia.
Absolutely.
He either worked on everybody's ring or rents rings to everybody. Mike Fields, Payne, he has rings.
Yeah.
I mean, there's great rings out there that can be, as long as you're willing to put the money in. But if you don't give a damn about your employees or you don't give a damn about your workers, you wouldn't want to put the money in for them. So you would go ahead and put that cardboard bullshit out there for us to break our legs on because you don't care. Because you just want to make enough money to go to the strip club and go play bingo.
Oof. Well, thank you, AJ. I got to say, though, you know, when you said the thing about the strip club and Billy, that was the first thing you ever said about – anyone's ever said about Billy that made me almost like him. I was like, he does have a personality.
You know,
awesome.
Hey, we all have those moments, and you know, I just recently posted that I'm trying to figure out if independent wrestlers get unemployment or can we get food stamps or, you know, any of those things because I got fired because I don't draw.
Well, thanks again, AJ. You've always been a great guest, and I'm sure you'll be on before long again. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'll have something else to bitch about. Rachel, eat the cake.
Will do.
Talk to you guys later. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Boy, the man
Larry.
Is on fire. On fire.
Yes. That was minute 2 through 20, Larry. We're already cooking. I mean, I say we just roll into the next thing. Is our next guest ready?
I'm hoping this is Charles.
Larry Goodman, hello, how are you?
Oh, it is Charles. There we go.
Let me give him a proper introduction.
Please.
The promoter of the year, the owner of Southern Fried Championship Wrestling, and as of until recently, the owner of Anarchy Wrestling as well, Mr. Charles Anschutz. Charles, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing wonderful. I have two quick comments to make. First of all,
yes, sir.
How do I back that up? You know, I feel like the who going on behind Jimi Hendrix now. And number two, AJ is also fired from Southern Fried for taking part of my damn time.
Oh, it's not very professional, Charles. Not very professional. Wow. Charles, you wanted to come on here. I just instead of asking you a question right off the rip, if it's okay with Larry and Rachel, I thought I would just let you say your piece. What did you want to say first before we ask you questions?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that went around about the sale at Cornelia, and I wanted to clear a few things out. First off, The fact that August 22nd became the last show in the history of Anarchy was news to me as well. That I had no earthly idea when I got to the building that day that would be the last show for Anarchy. It was my understanding that the show would continue to run as Anarchy through the end of the year, and then at that point there might be a decision made to rebrand. Nothing set in stone. So. And several people were involved with that decision backstage about an hour or so before the show, and it was decided to go ahead at that point and just start with a rebrand right away. So I do want people to understand, obviously, as a promoter, had I known ahead of time that that would be the last Anarchy show ever, I would have promoted the hell out of that aspect as well to have gotten even more people in there. And did not know that the hiatus, we're not going to start back up until November. We were going on a three weekend break there, and it was my assumption from early discussions that they would be picking up and running right away at that point. So I had no earthly idea either that there would be an October date and then a November date before they started back up. So I got that news kind of pretty much like everybody else did. So, and I wanted people to know that I had no earthly idea that that would be the last Anarchy show. But however, if it was going to be the last show, it was one hell of a show, and it couldn't have ended on a better note. I'll say that for sure.
Charles, you know, yeah, I think Larry summed up nicely in his report, I think, when he said, you know, there were aspects of the PCW invasion angle that hadn't worked, it hadn't quite clicked, but that it all kind of came together in that last show and went out with a bang. And I had a question, and I don't know how comfortable you'll be answering this, but it seems like I'm asking the big questions tonight. So there's a lot of, like, you know, he said, she said, whose fault in this? I guess I just want to hear from you, like, obviously I don't think you would consider while the last show went well, I think is it safe to say you're disappointed with how your tenure as Anarchy owner went? And if you are disappointed, what if you had to do it all over again, like, what would you have changed about what you could directly influence and do? Does that make sense?
Yes, completely, and it's part of what I wanted to talk about. I told Larry before I come on that nothing was off the table. I would discuss anything, and I would be as honest and forthright as I know and remember to be. Yes, I'm disappointed with how it turned out. I think we had a good start the first couple of shows. I thought there was a lot of promise there. And I'm going to say, to me, the big turning point to me was Hardcore Hell. We had drawn a pretty nice crowd the show before. The crowd that night, for whatever reason, was disappointing. And the show, and if I'm being completely honest, to me, the show that night was disappointing as well. That was my first big show there, and I was excited for so much more than what that show was. Not laying blame on anybody or anyone, I just think the show didn't really have that big show feel or atmosphere, and it didn't deliver that night. That was the night, obviously, that you made a debut that night. Wonderfully and masterfully, I must say, sitting in the crowd with a mask, going and buying hot dogs at the concession stand or whatever. You did your part, no questions asked. You know, the ending of the show that night, which was supposed to be the big deal, the big surprise, just kind of flopped. I mean, I'm being quite honest. I sat there because, if you remember, I was right there running the lights and ringing the bell. So I had, you know, I was right up close and personal to everything that happened. And the crowd reaction was just, you know, indifferent, I guess is the word that I want to use. You know, it was set up. There was a perfect spot for heat. I wanted people to be throwing every damn thing they could find in the ring at you. But, yes, there was just an indifferent reaction to it. And to me, at that point, moving forward, the momentum that we had built up a little bit started slowly slipping away the rest of the way, you know, in through the summer. And it got to the point with me, had I stayed on, changes were going to be made. I had looked at several different options of things that I could do, would do, and would consider doing. And then the opportunity kind of fell in my lap to make the sale initially to somebody. That didn't happen, but that opened the door for the next person to contact me and make an offer. And I decided at that point to get out because, honestly, the things that I thought I needed to do there probably would not have been well received, to be quite honest.
have a couple of questions, and these are, I'm going to ask some hard questions now. So I don't go into this very much, but I'm a, like, former art school student. What the fuck was going on with those posters?
The anarchy posters?
Yes.
Okay, here's my first issue there, and since you brought it up, I had horrible trouble getting posters. We would literally, you know, you're running every 2 weeks, and I had, you know, talked with Bill about the fact that I would love to have those posters. You know, when we run a show on Saturday night, the ideal for me is I've got that poster ready for me on Saturday night after that show for the next show. Worst case scenario, we've got it out the next day. And it got to a point there that I was literally 3 days before the next show before I got the poster from the poster, the artistic staff. Let's just leave it at that. And, well, hell, you can't really do a lot of postering of towns or anything when you don't get the poster until a couple of days before the show. So we made a change there over the last couple of shows. Someone else different was doing it, and we'd gotten to the point where we were getting it at a quicker pace, and the person who was doing it was working through, trying to make some improvements, and hopefully we would have gotten better with that. But, you know, one of my biggest problems was the fact that we were, you know, I wasn't getting the posters till midweek of the show week, which really irked me, and I really complained about a lot. And it seemed like the more I complained, the worse it got. So that was a huge issue for me, one of the issues that bothered me a lot, to be quite honest.
I had a question for you, Charles, just as a anarchy as a business. My take is that it was a bad business deal when Franklin bought it from Jerry Palmer, and that it was a bad, not a good business when you got it, and it's not a good business for the guy who has it now. Your thoughts?
I sat down when we finalized the deal Sunday of last week. I sat down with the new owner. Of course, I think we all here discussing this know who that is, but we'll leave it at that, and gave him some friendly advice at the end. First off, the building is not worth anywhere near what the rent is discharged there. That's completely honest. You know, it's you can't have anarchy. You couldn't have Wildside without the church. But the rent there is far exceeds what that building is worth. So that's a bad deal, because obviously you have no heat and air. So there's no even wasting any time with that. But financially, January, I'll be brutally honest with you because that's what I do. January was a loss because we only ran one show, if you remember correctly. February, March, and April, we made expenses. May, we made expenses only because we did the 10th anniversary show, which is another thing that I am proud of there. That was a very good show that night, and it drew well. And that's the only reason we made expenses then. June, July, I lost my ass. Just point blank. It was costing me a shitload of money those 2 months to run those shows. And August would have been the same way, except for the fact that the last show drew extremely well. So it actually turned out to slight profit for that month. But, yeah, you know, it's I mean, if you want nuts and bolts money-wise, you know, in my time there, I probably lost $1,000 out of my pocket.
Yeah. Charles, this is just an overall observation. I just want to get your reaction to it. When I did come in and sort of talking and whatever with people, the impression that I got was there was just a general sense that anarchy wasn't in your wheelhouse. Like it just really wasn't on your radar. That it was Southern Fried First, which I mean that's understandable. That's your baby. But that anarchy just sort of got short shift, that it didn't get promoted enough, that there was just this general sense that anarchy didn't matter. And that if there were just more people in that your contention was that the shows were hurting the draw. And then the thing with other people was that the shows simply weren't promoted nearly enough to even get people in the door in the first place. So where do you fall on that? And is that one of the things that you would change if you had it to do all over again? Or did you think you handled everything as appropriately as you could?
You could always do better. I could have done a much better job promoting. The first statement that Southern Fried was the first choice or whatever is absolutely ludicrous. Actually, and most outside of maybe two people would even notice, I seriously considered selling Southern Fried when I bought Anarchy. But I chose not to because I have a tremendous love and passion for those people that are there, and I wanted to see that move on the way it was going. But I did seriously consider selling Monroe out. I could have promoted much better. I could have done a better job with that, no doubt about it. But, you know, I didn't – during the time I was there, I don't think I promoted one show any more than the other one, and the other show continued to do amazingly well. So I don't know – you know, if I'm giving the same effort to both shows and one's doing a hell of a lot better than the other one, attendance-wise, I don't see what the issue is. When Bill and I initially talked, and I haven't even mentioned Bill's name, I don't think at this point, Bill Behrens is, you know, to wrestling in Georgia what no one else is. And my time there spent with him was well worth it. But, you know, I just think the feedback we were getting from fans, and that's one thing when I brought Tim and Rusty in. Tim and Rusty were polling the fans a lot. And they wanted to see something different. They wanted to see something that wasn't the norm, that what they were seeing every show. That's the feeling that we continually got. And I'm sure if you don't believe me on that, you can talk with them and they'll tell you the same thing. And I just think that, you know, like I said, I think change had to be made at some point, a change of direction, a change of attitude, a change of whatever. And second, you know, I get involved a lot at Southern Fried now and I did then because, honestly, and I'm going to say this as honestly as I know how, I know what the fuck's going on in Monroe. You know, AJ Steele, who you just had on, is my booker in Monroe. I give AJ my vision of what I want to see happen, and he makes it happen. There was no vision of anything that I wanted to see happen in Cornelia that ever really was a part of anything that happened there. There were the ladies' matches that you saw were my suggestion through someone else. The fact that Odinson and Logan Creed and Stitch Cypher were working up there were recommendations that I had made, and I thought all those were good moves. I thought Logan Creed came in immediately, went to toward the top of the card, and was working with Jeff, which was a great position for him to be in. It's hard to go. I mean, like I said, right now in Monroe, I know what I'm doing in December. I know what I'm doing in November. I know what I'm doing in my three shows in October. I know what I'm doing in 2 weeks. At Anarchy, I didn't even know when I got there, I wasn't included in any decision making, and I'm not fussing or complaining. Ultimately, this is the bottom line. While I was there, the show went downhill somewhat, and that's my fault because I was the owner, I was a promoter, and I'll take 100% responsibility for that.
Charles, one other question I had is, and you may have, if you've covered this, okay, but what surprised you the most once you actually got in there, had ownership, and got involved in Anarchy? What surprised you the most?
Several things, I think, that I would note. I was shocked at as many people as we had there in the locker room, as workers for a show. And a point that I didn't get to bring out, I was never comfortable, although we were not making any money, I was never comfortable for people having to come and work for the minimal amount of pay that's paid out there. I'll leave it at that. If you know my people in Monroe, I pay much better there because the crowd's better. And I don't want to see somebody drive for 2 hours and not even make gas money. I understand why they do that. It's the opportunities, the learning curve. It's the opportunities that Bill and Todd can afford them, and I completely understand that, but I'm still not comfortable with asking somebody to drive 2 hours for less than gas money. But that's decided. But the fact that we had one show, I counted 38 workers in the locker room. And, hell, I thought I had it bad in Monroe, you know, when I would have 26, 28. And so that really surprised me. But you know what? The thing that was a surprise, but it was the fact that just absorbing knowledge. The times after shows where I'd sit and talk with Jeff after most people had gone, and just the fact that he would take time to sit and talk to me. And, you know, sometimes when he thought he needed to tell me something I was fucking up, he would tell me that. And I appreciated the honesty. And I probably learned more out of that than anything or any time, anything that the fans there were the fans there were rabid. You know, if their seat that you had them down for was one chair off from where it was supposed to be, they made damn sure they let you know it. But the people we had there who were there for the entire time I was there, I appreciate them. They're greatest fans you could ever ask for. I love them to death. And some of them I have come into Monroe now. Some of the people from Monroe started coming to Anarchy, and that was my grand plan. My grand plan was to get people from Monroe to come to Cornelia, to like it and come back. And people eventually to come from Cornelia to Monroe to like it and come back and get a little interchange there. That was the idea of having some of the Anarchy workers work in Monroe, vice versa. And, you know, actually, to be quite honest, the returns were better for Monroe because more people coming from Cornelia kept coming back to Monroe than vice versa. But those are things that were surprised me somewhat.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I know we have another guest coming on. Rachel, did you have a final question for Charles?
No, you know, he hit all of the points that I was going to ask about.
Cool. Is Charles, is there anything you wanted to say before we get Todd on here? Appreciate you coming on, by the way. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate what all three of you have done for your show tonight, which is a great show. What all you did involved at Anarchy, Larry, his time for his report. I want everybody to know I don't regret buying Anarchy. I don't regret what the experience. I regret that it's somewhat tainted. I understand that. And like I said, I take full blame for that. It's not Bill's fault, Todd's fault, Jeff's fault, anybody else's fault. You know, our ownership group there, I think we took somewhat of a step back. Although I will make the point to say that when I bought it, I came on, you know, I think it was on the other block show, and I said point blank that I wasn't going to change a thing, that we were going to study it for 6 months and see what happens. That's exactly what I've done. And then when I started making suggestions after 6 months, they were probably met more with deaf ears, and so I think it was probably the right time for me to get out. And with that, that's all I've got. Unless you got something else, then I'm good.
No, Charles, again, I appreciate your time. Thank you for coming on. This has been a dynamite show with AJ Steele and then you, so certainly appreciate your time.
All right, see you guys.
All right. Woo! So thoughts, Larry Goodman?
I really appreciated his straightforwardness in answering the questions and taking responsibility for the way things were there. I really respect that.
And, Rachel, I respect the fact that you asked about those posters. Because they were really atrocious. They were really atrocious. And you know, again, I know, you know, he took responsibility, which I thought was great. But, yeah, I mean, it's just like it would be really hard. You'd be really hard-pressed to argue that Anarchy got equal promotion time. I'm not a jerk for saying that I don't think that that's the case. Right. I think there's a certain level of passion at the very least. There's sort of like an enthusiasm that came with the Southern Fried promotion. If you've looked at all the promotion for that tournament coming up, for example, just like something coming out every day, fresh and new, And I guess I understand Charles' thing about, like, well, I didn't have the posters well in advance, but, man, I don't know. I think you gotta put some hustle. And, you know, even his – I was going to ask about this. I just didn't want it to go on too long. But he was not, like, a presence in Anarchy. I mean, I was at almost as many shows as Charles was, honestly. And, you know, we all know how infrequently I came in for that ankle. So – in any case,
yeah, I thought about asking about that too, but
no. But I mean, I thought he acquitted himself very well and explained everything. So, Larry, is Todd Sexton ready to go?
We are currently being joined by former Anarchy booker and wrestler, and with a role in the whatever's going to be happening out there. And currently, a Todd Sexton. Welcome to Tipping Point.
Hey guys. I don't understand what the heat is, Steve. I always liked you. So I don't understand why you killed the business up here. I mean, no, I always thought you were cool.
I was going to do it, Todd, and I did it.
You talk about living the gimmick. My God. You know, you did all the way up in Florida, too, which is even more impressive. So. How are y'all doing?
Todd.
Yes,
we're doing great. Todd, I got to get my question up first because I think it's pivotal. Now, you booked along with Bill Behrens, you booked Anarchy. And I got to just say this. I'm so excited that you're going to book the new promotion that's going to be in the church. And here's why. I always felt like, I'm like, there's got to be part of Todd that wonders if you know, really wants to sort of enact his vision. Certainly, Bill is a great mentor. Certainly, Bill advocated for you time and time again. But is the main impetus for you wanting to book this new show that you want to show what you can do, basically? Is that, I mean, because that's, to me, one of the most exciting stories about this new venture, is the thought of what are you going to do when it's yours to book exclusively. Was that your main reason?
Well, no, that's not my main reason, actually, but that is an aspect of it. And that's actually, all the rigmarole in the last week of Anarchy, where it was going to continue, but Bill wasn't going to be part of it. Bill insisted I book it because Bill felt, like you said, I've always been the Robin to his Batman. I don't get the credit that Bill gets, even though it has honestly been 50-50 our entire run together, both runs. And, you know, he wanted me to go out and do it, and I was up for it. But then, you know, after the show we had, and Charles was right, I really didn't realize it was the last Anarchy show till Jeff said so in the ring. And it kind of dawned on me that it was the case. And I wondered did I want to continue after the show we had, you know, and the match with Judas that I had, you know, it was undoubtedly been the worst year of my life. Did if I wanted to continue it, but I had, you know, and when I'm not exaggerating the number, I'm probably downplaying the number, and Rachel can back me up on this, about 80 to 90% of the boys said if I was sticking around that they would stay. And then it became sort of like, okay. And then, you know, and then the new owner has exciting ideas and stuff. And every time I talk to him, it's fun. It's getting me excited and all that. And then just also, you know, Cornelia has become my home. And, you know, I'm sort of the lineage now from that building from Wildside to Anarchy to what it will become. So it's sort of like, I don't want to see it. I want to make sure it stays in the family, so to speak, as far as, you know, what happens.
So,
but I am excited to have my own thing. What?
So when Charles purchased Anarchy, it was pretty clear, at least from the rumblings that I heard, that he was the promoter and you and Bill were the bookers, and that's just how it was.
Yes.
With the new owner, is it going to be the same kind of thing? Will you be co-booking or just incorporating his ideas into your booking? What's that relationship look like going forward?
Honestly, that relationship, yeah, but you really don't know till we get going. I mean, he's got ideas, and I got ideas, and so far it's going pretty smoothly as far as us bouncing ideas back and forth. you know, he's got new guys he wants to bring in as well as the current or what was the current roster and stuff. And I, you know, it may be a case where he comes up with concepts and I implement them, like a Pat Patterson to his Vince McMahon, or it could be a case where it's, you know, 50-50. But honestly, we won't know till it gets going, you know, because he may have an idea that works great and that I may go with that. Or I may say that this is, that's the wrong thing to do, do this, and I'm right. So he may go to me and stuff. So honestly, it's too soon to tell how it's going to go. But, I mean, we're both keeping open minds, and so far, you know, as far as conversations go and stuff, it seems promising.
Todd, this is a kind of a logistical question that you may not be 100% privy to, but I think it's no secret. Charles alluded to it, that a big part of Anarchy's thing is, and I mean, PCW operates on much the same way, which is the guys wrestle for less because it's just a special place to be. Either they train there, or, I mean, with Anarchy, there was a bunch of pluses, right? There's television, there was the opportunity to work with you and Bill and guys like Jeff, just get like top flight sort of on the job training, right? Now, with Bill not there, clearly you being there is pivotal, but do you feel like that logistically is going to change? Is the payroll inevitably going to have to go up? Or, I mean, and if so, is that going to affect the shows? I mean, if the shows seemed like financially they were kind of in a place where at best it was paying for itself, if the payroll goes up, what do you feel like the solution is going to be as far as keeping that thing viable?
Well, I mean, you said it yourself, you know, Anarchy was the finishing school for Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we came there. I mean, we had Freddie High, for example. He's a freak. You know, he's phenomenal. He's, you know, a freak. But Jimmy Rave tried to get in with us a couple of years ago, but of course Fred was getting more money other places, so he went where the money was. Then he got to the point where he realized he needed to learn what he was doing and came here. And it was always like, you know, and all the guys that you helped develop, and then they came here to go, you know, to learn more. You know, and honestly, at this point, all those guys in that locker room have grown up now with me being there as the guy teaching them as well as Bill. You know, anything Bill can teach them, I can teach them now because I've learned from Bill, as well as other things that Bill couldn't teach when it came to the in-ring stuff. And then, you know, and there's certain aspects of promos that Bill was very good on and that I've learned from Bill as far as teaching. And that's, you know, that's the case. Like I can, and Bill will still be involved if I'm involved. You know, Bill is still going to be watching, and Bill will go, the opportunities that were there with Bill are still there because I will say, hey, this guy for Ring of Honor, or this guy for Raw, and so on and so forth.
Right.
So that's still there. As far as what we do, if that does not work, if the payroll has to become an issue, you know, we don't know until it happens, you know, and that's honestly the case. You know, I mean, there's, you know, money being spent and money that'll be there for talent. And, but if the guys end up, you know, I mean, me and Bill have always gone by the psychology is to develop guys to go get paid. You know, we develop guys good enough to where they can go someplace else and demand a payday, you know, whether it be just on the indies or be Ring of Honor or what have you. So, you know, that's the case. We have to wait and see how that plays. I mean, maybe the purse strings have to open, or go ahead.
Sorry for interrupting, but I mean, and I know you're not the promoter owner, obviously, but it seems like the obvious solution is like drawing more people. And that's been my question about Cornelia for a while now. Is that building still capable of drawing more people except for the occasional big show? Or is it just too many years, too many shows to really, like, get it back into another gear again? And I guess we're going to find out here. But that's the question I keep having about it.
That is a good question. It's one question I've asked many times to myself. I mean, and it is always, you know, one thing and to assume this on Charles may not be fair, but it's almost like remember how the Road Warriors used to bitch about not getting a push because they were so over, they just put them out there. And they still bitch about getting a, you know. It's like that. The building is the building. Everybody knows about the building, so you figure it's there, it'll promote itself. It's the, you know, it's always, it's the constant up, you know. And then, but I have so many people say, I used to go there, you know, and people ask, is it still wrestling up there? I was like, yeah, still wrestling up there. You know, so maybe, I remember when Anarchy started, you know, and Anarchy was maligned like crazy when it first started. You know, malarkey was one of the terms used for it. And, but we got more new fans, and that's the key to grasp new fans and new people to come in. And that comes with promotion, you know, and I don't know if internet promotion is the key because, you know, up here especially, I don't know if it's the way, you know, it's not necessarily that market, but, you know, it's just, you know, getting new fans in the building. And like you said, that's the key, getting more fans, and then that creates more of this, more of that, you know. I mean, one good thing about our building has always been usually if it's a shit crowd, then they brought it. You know, they almost like they felt bad for us, they made up for it by being very hot for us.
Very true,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before we go too far into the future, Todd, I just wanted to ask you about your last part of your run here at Anarchy, the last couple of years.
Yeah, ask me about the past.
When you look back on it, what do you look back on as highlights and lowlights of this last stretch with Anarchy?
Let's see, last few things. Well, there's two sides. There's the stuff I did personally, and there's the stuff I did booker-wise, you know, the stuff I did in-ring. I'll go with developing Rachel. And I'm not saying because she's on the phone, but I'm very proud of what she became because, you know, and she told my parents at the Brent Appreciation Show that was the first angle she got to go on her own was her, Bo, and my brother against me. And getting all three of them over in that run to where Bo was, even though Bo laid out after it was concluded and Brent did as well, but it also springboarded Rachel into being not just Jerry and Jeff's, you know, piece of ass on the side. She became her own entity. BJ Hancock becoming what he's become, which I personally, you know, went through the troubles of trying to develop him and get him the opportunities to where he could show what he could do. Billy Buck and Strychnine going up, further up the roster and stuff. You know, stuff like that, seeing guys, you know, develop. Lars, who started as almost my old joke of guys like that as a big dumb animal. Not that he's dumb, but, you know, this big guy who had all this athleticism but didn't know how to use it. And then look how he ended up when the run was done. You know, where he could go out there and I didn't have to babysit his matches as I used to as far as him putting them together.
And about, you know, your in-ring, was that always part of the plan, or did that just sort of, you know, come about, you know, organically or something? How did that happen?
What, getting in the ring?
Yeah, I mean, because I thought you were kind of out, and then there you were banned
Rachel
as a regular.
Rachel can tell you how many fucking times I tried to get out.
Todd, I think, holds the record for most retirements in
my
run.
My quote is, I cannot tie Ric Flair's run for world titles, but I can sure as fuck try to get Terry Funk's record for retirement. I've tried so many times, and it just comes up. You know, when I first came back to help Bill with the booking and stuff, I did the thing with Adrian to set up a six-man with Sal and Jimmy against Adrian, Tommy, and Phoebe, which is just to get my friends together and have fun. Then the next show, Walters got back from Europe, and I was like, okay, that's fun, because I love that style. And me and Walters did that little run where we did the technical matches, which led into the Brent angle. Everything happened organically as far as, ooh, this would be good. Ooh, this would be good. Ooh, I can get a payoff to the Brent heel ref by doing this and accomplishing his dream of being able to have a wrestling match. And it just sort of happened here and there, you know, doing the run with where we had the big 10-man at Season's Beatings with Rachel's group and all the guys from yesteryear, you know. And it was, once again, an excuse to get all my friends together and have a good time. And, mm-hmm. And you know, the 10th anniversary, you know, I did the thing with Bobby, which, you know, did the angle, the tag team angle with Bobby, and which led to, you know, me, I wanted to do one last heel run just to see if I could. Because being in that building so long, I'm like a permanent baby face, but see if I can get heat. I did the thing with JJ, and it worked. But I was able to elevate Corey by winning the belt and elevate Bobby by doing the street fight where we drew a house on Valentine's Day, which was nice. and then, you know, it was just like, okay, now I'm going to focus on the booking. And then Oh, we got to set the anniversary show because I can
show.
Get. It was two shows. It was two
okay,
shows.
Okay, I was going to say it was like.
Yeah.
Somebody did.
It was very quickly.
So
yes. It
wrestle.
Was very quickly. And then you know it just went from there. It was all organically and just like okay, this would be fun. This would work. I can you know dangle with BJ and Joey and Rachel, which you know worked out real well. And we did the street fight and stuff. And it just all everything was always organically. I had no intention. Every time I had no intention. And then every time I felt like okay, this will be fun.
Yeah. Todd, this it's Steve. This isn't really so much a question as just sort of a statement of fact. And I think this needs to be laid out and it needs to be said. So between, I mean, you mentioned before that this was just the toughest year. I mean, between Brent, I think Anarchy ending, and through it all, I'm fuck kayfabe and shit. I'm just going to lay it out there. You've had to put up with so much and deal with so much and, you know, when I talk to people on the phone, especially when Brent died, and like the conversations were like, I don't see any way that Todd is going to want to continue to do things, you know, because the wrestling things tied together. It just seemed impossible, and things at Anarchy were not ideal. I don't think that's a secret, but like you came back. I mean, wrestled some of the best matches. Booked that Dynamite last show for Anarchy, and now you're going to basically give this new group, I'll just say it, a fighting chance. I think without you there, without your presence there, I think that thing is dead in the water. I'll just say, I mean, that's what I do, right? I just say what I think is the truth, and I think that thing would have been dead in the fucking water. And so, again, this is not a question. This is me just saying, you know, that every year, you know, you have, like, who's the inspirational wrestling personality of the year in Georgia? And usually it's a sort of this trite thing. But I think you are to be commended. And you didn't do it for this reason, but you are to be commended for overcoming all of that and continuing to just handle yourself with class. You know, you're not one of the like loud ass personalities in Georgia wrestling. I mean, I don't really know any of those kind of people myself, but like you handle yourself with such dignity. And I mean, again, I just have nothing but the utmost respect. And I think throughout my limited run at Anarchy and getting to be there at the end, it really did feel like an honor. It really was an honor. So, I mean, again, I just think, I don't think you get enough credit for a lot of things. So I just want to put that out there that if people knew, I think half of the stuff that you had to deal with, they would be blown away. You're not a guy who fucked up and is looking for redemption. You're a guy who has managed to stick it out and just be that guy that can be relied on. And now you're going to get a chance to really shine. And I'm personally very excited about it. And I don't think it could happen to a better guy. So I'll just say that.
I appreciate that. And yeah, just to add that, one month before Brent died, our grandmother passed. So it was a very, like I said, it's been the worst year ever. And honestly, wrestling is, you know, it's funny because Bill is done. You know, he was fed up with this, that, or the other, but I wasn't. I was just, maybe because I needed it. You know, I needed to keep, it just gave me that something to where I wouldn't fall too much in depression and stuff. Because I'll be honest with you, I mean, it's tough. It's horrible. Rachel knows how close we were. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It is, you know, and Goodman, you know, you've seen my other brother at the shows for the last 15 years.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
yeah.
You know, all three of us are very close, so it has been horrible, and wrestling was there. You know, we did the match. Me and Sal got to do that match, which was very cathartic. But I thought I was good, but it wasn't. And then you know, me and Judas, which was still a tribute to Brent as well, because me and Judas were very close, and it's like I need it, honestly, in a way. And that's, you know, and I appreciate everything you said because I love the guys. And I said it in the locker room a couple of weeks ago. I was like, I honestly like everybody in here. And I told him, you know, during Bill's spiel and I came out at the end of it and I was like, you know, I honestly do. I like most, you know, pretty much everybody here as a person, not just working with them and stuff, you know. And it's, you know, I try to help these guys as much as I can, you know, and I get a big smile on my face when the guys get opportunities, like the Get Along Gang did at the Ring of Honor show and stuff. And
yeah.
The guys, you know.
And I think the biggest part of that, even with the shitty year that you had, aside from the memorial show, no one would have ever known. You always handled yourself very professionally, but still having, you know, the very affectionate relationship with all of the guys. And I think with you booking more on your own or being the more forefront booker in this case, I think more people see how many people you've mentored and more people
yeah.
get a chance to experience that. Because I know I've heard you go through the names before, but I was just sitting here kind of thinking about it, and it just dawned on me, like, wow, like, that is a really fantastic number of people who are in all different areas that luckily could come to the same place. And, you know, Anarchy sometimes had the habit of a lot of the same guys were on top all the time, but you were really the advocate for, you know, like the BJ Hancocks and Lars Mandersons and Rachel Freeman to get that, you know, shot to show what they were able to do and be in a position to learn from other people. So I think that that's something people should really know and recognize going forward.
Well, thank you, Rachel, because, you know, me and you have worked hand-in-hand for a number of years now, and mm-hmm. I've put you over quite a few times, you know, and, you know, you paid attention. You paid attention to what Steve has taught. You paid attention to what Bill and I've taught, you know, and I've always taken pride in that. You know, how have you progressed to what you've become now, you know, in the business?
And I will
say,
know,
this, I'm one of the only few
yeah.
guys I get there, you know, I'm going to put myself over, but Rachel will tell you this, I'm usually the first guy there,
mm-hmm.
and I'm usually the guy who cleans the ring, and just because we shouldn't be rolling around and get staph infection, and it's usually like me, Rachel, BJ, and Bobby, and Lars, and whoever else comes in early to get in the ring and work out.
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing that's starting in November, I mean, the new owner, they got to know it's your first one in, you're the last to leave. And, you know, you're going to bring, I imagine the houses in November will be big. I imagine people are going to be willing to give that a chance if it's promoted
yeah.
properly.
Yes,
and
the first one out, I agree, the first one out, but it's getting them to stay after that.
I mean, and you know, right, I mean, and you know Goodman's going to be, Larry, you're going to be there, right? And so it's you know, it's a great opportunity to kind of show, like, this is, you know, it's the great wrestling you remember, but it's something new. I mean, Charles alluded to that he wanted to make those changes. I don't think he was the right guy to make those changes stylistically, but hopefully the new owner and Todd, I think, can have a new, fresh thing that still feels high quality. That's the best of all worlds, and I think they'll be just fine. Larry,
well,
you're going to be there, right?
I plan to.
Yeah. Well, I always look at it like this. Like, Steve, you, and I told this to Bill, I mean, just a couple months ago, and he thought it was a great description, you know. You are, Steve, and what you did is avant-garde, because you always did the craziest stuff. You know, and took a lot of chances and stuff. Charles is meat and potatoes. And Anarchy was that product in the middle. The you know, it's not an insult to either one, but the more professional product as far as, you know, the presentation of the TV or as far as learning how to work TV in it more of a training facility
yeah.
as opposed to a drawing money facility. And we had a screen that never worked, so we never could do fucking vignettes. You know, so.
I'm glad you said it.
God damn. Let me tell you. Because I was like, okay, Steve's not going to be here every show. So let's do, you know, you're posting the Am I Wrong gimmicks online. So let's put those
yes.
up every show. Give Steve a press.
Yeah.
First time we do it. It doesn't fucking play. Okay. Well, there goes that fucking idea. Because I was like, Steve's not going to be every show. Let's get Steve because they can learn who Steve is. They can learn to hate Steve because Steve was only in there one time before we shot the angle. I wanted to say more. Steve's down in Florida, though, so we can't really make that logistically to work. So let's do this, you know. I mean, but it gave Rachel a chance to run on the top angle on their own, and the key to the angle was Jeff's babyface turn, which took. It was never been done, so that's something, you know, and Jeff wanted to do, and me and Bill wanted to do, let's turn Jeff babyface. Never been done, you know, and gives him a chance to do that, to play the Cornette 1988 gimmick. But it was so much more we could do with guys as far as training him if the fucking screen worked.
So, two orders of business, November, it's on, promoted properly. And let's get that fucking screen working. I think everything's going to come up roses for Ty Sexton and the new...
We're good. The screen works. We're taking over. The screen's the key. Yeah. All of a sudden, you know, we're fucking right there with NXT. We got the screen.
Yeah.
Working.
I mean, it's why we watch wrestling. Huh?
There is why.
No.
Yeah, for me.
No. Why we watch wrestling? No, no. Todd, I can't... I think this has been one of my favorite tipping points overall between AJ Steele, Charles, and especially ending with you. I think it's going to be great. Any last parting thoughts, Larry and Rachel, before we let Todd promote whatever he would like to and we end the show?
I'm excited to see what Todd and the new owner come up with. I know that the ideas that I heard were things that were very different from what had normally happened. So,
yeah,
very much looking forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, similarly, Todd, your being there gives me definitely a lot more hope than I would have had otherwise. And I wish the best for always for wrestling and currently. I wish the best.
Cool. Todd, any parting words before we close the show?
Yeah. Come to the show.
Who needs a fucking screen?
Yeah, who needs a fucking screen? We'll get there and fucking wrestle. This guy, you know, the best wrestling in Georgia. And honestly, I've always said we may not have the most successful show, but we can damn sure have the best show. And, you know, we'll go out there. The guys will always fucking kick ass. And regardless if there's five people in that building or 300, the guys will give the same fucking effort, you know, most of the time. You know, and you can't ask for more than that. You know, if I got to get in there too, I'll get in there too.
So the church.
This whole time I've been working on my tan, so I'm ready to go.
All right. Finally. Finally.
He's gonna be so slightly
it might be
this time.
It might be gone by then, but.
Well, that's good because then they can just project video onto your back
go.
Then.
Oh, they can just
it's
do
good.
It onto me. They can do it onto me. It'd be no problem. I'll get more fucking screen time than anybody else.
Or have Jeter wear white and you're all good.
That'd be good, yeah. That would work. That because we're getting a projector, that's way too hard for us to deal with.
Well, Todd, thank you again. Next week, Larry, do we know what guests we're going to have next week? It's going to be hard to top this one. Do we know who we've got next week?
It's going to be really tough to top this one. I believe we'll have Paul Adams on, possibly hoping to have one of the filmmakers of the Jake the Snake documentary.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, shit. That means I need to do my Jake the Snake impersonation. That's going to happen.
Get ready.
And
get ready.
And right. I'm thinking about countersuing Paul Lee. Fuck that guy. All of that to look forward to, again, from Todd Sexton, AJ Steele, Charles Anschutz.
Before we go, we have
yes,
a note
sir.
Here from Charles to you.
Uh-oh.
I was there for 12 of the 17 shows, damn it.
Was it 12?
Well, and plus it's Charles, so you can kind of count double, right?
Oh,
so.
Was that a fat joke?
That was indeed a fat joke. Nicely done, sir.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Is that a fat joke?
Shit! Stole my shit! Motherfucker! This show is over. It's over. From Miss Rachel, Stephen Platinum, and Larry Goodman, Todd Sexton, get the fuck out of here. This has been Tipping Point. We'll see you next week. Am I wrong? Motherfucker.
I'll steal your fucking gimmick any day.
Yeah, you did.
I wrestle
fuck
midgets.
That.
Don't give a fuck.
I'm letting my tan go. I'm fucking fuck
you
Florida.
Know
I'm gonna be able to stay inside. I'm gonna tail. I'm coming for you, Todd Sexton.
Don't come
Todd,
back in the arena. We're trying to draw.
You stole his catchphrase.
I know I did. That
was... The end of the NFL, folks.
Fuck you, Porky Pig. Oh, man. Holy shit.
Thanks,
I'm
going to
start
thanks,
doing
God.
That. That's going to be my
thank
shit
you,
now.
John.
I'm just going to say full disclosure and am I wrong?
Well, thank you for listening to this broadcast.
Yeah, I'm
broadcast
only
about
the only
motherfucker
who's got a catchphrase in the goddamn state. Thank you. And I'm not even in the
state.
GeorgiaWrestlingCountry.com.
It's just wrong, really. It's not upcoming events.
Am I wrong?
T-shirts
as far as I can see.
Thank you for support.
God, if I have a third kid, I'm going to name that kid Am I Wrong?
Shit. And you probably
Am
will
I...
be.
That's... Am I yours?
Oh, my God.
Great show. Where's that bitch at? Where's that bitch?